In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Every year on the second Sunday of Easter, we have the story of Doubting Thomas. And I have to confess that I feel a little bad for the poor guy. Until the Lord returns again, he will be the apostle known for doubting that Jesus was alive and risen from the dead. He was gone when Jesus appeared to the other 10, and when he returned to hear that Jesus had appeared to the others, he refused to believe it to be true. So fine, Thomas doubted, but you cannot say that the other 10 were doing a fantastic job of believing. They were in a locked room for fear of their enemies, even though they had heard from the women, that the tomb was empty and the angels had declared the resurrection. Jesus had appeared to the women. And for all we know, Thomas was gone at the time because maybe he was somewhat more courageous than the rest. And perhaps they had sent him out to pick up their dinner and honor for the evening. Nevertheless, Thomas was gone when Jesus appeared, and so he gets labeled Doubting Thomas. And we all know that once nicknames stick, they are hard to get rid of. At any rate, the other 10 are in a locked room filled with fear and doubt. It has not been a great couple of days. The last time most of them saw Jesus, he was being arrested in the garden as they were running away. A few of them saw him on trial and then crucified, and their response to the empty tomb is confusion and disbelief, far more than faith. But suddenly Jesus is standing among them. Their teacher, whom they abandoned and doubted. And apparently he is pretty powerful, since he has managed to rise from the dead. You know this story very well, but don't take it for granted that when he opens his mouth, the disciples have no idea what he's going to say. It could be time for some payback, or you're fired, or even, depart from me. But it's not. It's peace be with you. Peace be with you. That's got to be a relief. But there is far more to it than that. Peace be with you is far more than a how are you doing today? Or take it easy. It's a word of absolution. Jesus stands in the midst of sinful, doubting, fearful disciples to proclaim that he took their sins and all sins of all people to Calvary and suffered the Father's just wrath for them there. Jesus didn't appear in the midst of the disciples to say it was time for them to pay for their sins. He was there to say that their sins are taken away, and so they are at peace with God. And God is at peace with them. Give us some thought. And Jesus' first words are astonishing. Human beings, even Jesus' followers, have done everything to prove themselves unworthy of God's mercy and grace. And the first words of the victim who has paid for their sins are words of God's mercy and grace. But it's not quite enough for the 10 disciples. After he speaks peace, he shows them his hands and his side. Risen from the dead, he keeps the wounds from the nails and the spear, not as a constant reminder to them of their guilt, but as an everlasting testimony of God's love for his people. When the disciples see the wounds, then they are glad that they have seen the Lord. Jesus is really risen from the dead. Not only does Jesus have peace for the disciples, but he has a use for them too. They are going to be his apostles, the sent ones. He says to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And then he breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." I find it sort of joyfully comforting that Jesus says, "Peace be with you," a second time. Because I like to think he's saying, "I've given you peace already, and now here's some more so that you can give it to other people too." That's really the calling of the apostles. After Jesus ascends into heaven, they will be giving out the gifts that he gives them to give on his behalf. So, for instance, in Acts chapter 3, a couple chapters before our first reading today, Peter and John are coming to the temple in Jerusalem, and they encounter a lame man begging for alms. And Peter says this to him, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." When he says this, the man rises and walks and leaps. Why? Because Peter gave what Jesus gave him to give. In other words, Peter said to the man, "I have been sent by Jesus to say what he would say if he were here standing instead of me." And to a layman asking for mercy, Jesus would say, "Rise up and walk." In the locker room in our gospel reading, Jesus doesn't talk about healing the lame. He sends out his apostles to say, "I am here to say what Jesus would say if he were standing here. To repentant sinners, he would say, 'I forgive you.' To unrepentant sinners, he would say, 'I do not forgive you until you repent. So repent and be forgiven.'" Whenever the apostles say what Jesus sent them to say, Jesus does what he says through them. But we cannot forget that Thomas is still out there somewhere, perhaps waiting in line to pick up their dinner order. And when he returns, he doesn't believe that Jesus is risen from the dead, which means that he acts like all the other disciples were acting before Jesus appeared to them. To be fair, Thomas increased the level a little bit. It's not enough for him to see Jesus, but he insists on touching the wounds and placing his hand in Jesus' side. 8 days later, Jesus appears again to the disciples, and this time Thomas was there. Rather than chastise him for his doubt, he speaks and gives his peace to all who are there. And then he accommodates Thomas. He says, put your finger here and see my hands. And put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas believes, not because he touches Jesus, but by saying believe, Jesus has said to Thomas, let there be faith. Jesus utters an evangelical imperative, become believing. Then Jesus says, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And that would be you. Jesus has ascended into heaven to sit at God's right hand. And so you do not see him anymore, nor do you have the opportunity to touch the wounds on his hands or his side. But that in no way keeps faith from believing. The Lord still gives his gifts of forgiveness, faith, and life. The Lord still comes to you with peace. This service is all about Christ and his peace for you. You arrive in church with your own sinful self, and your own sinful nature has done its usual fair share of damage since you were here last. You have sinned against other people in thought, word, and deed. You have failed to help your neighbor as you should. You are always trying to tell yourself how your sins are not that sinful to you. You are still haunted by the guilt of past mistakes, perhaps burdened by the shame of things done to you. It's all inside, eating you alive. So it's actually rather a miracle that you are here. I mean, it seems a little unwise for sinners to show up where God promises to be. Because we have plenty of Bible passages that warn of bringing unholiness into the presence of God. Still, you are. Why? Because you know that Jesus has died for you. And because he promises to be here with peace. So we start this service with the confession and absolution. You confess your sins in a general form. Individuals don't start listing off their personal transgressions. That's what private confession is for, you know, when a sin especially troubles you. But you confess generally that you are a sinner who has continued to sin. And that you are still in need of forgiveness for the sake of Jesus who died for you. Having called upon God for mercy and forgiveness, a pastor says, in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In other words, I have been called to say what Jesus would say if he were standing here in front of us. And if Jesus were standing here and heard sinners confess their sins, Jesus would say, I forgive you. And when Jesus says, I forgive you, he is giving forgiveness. He is saying to sinners, you and I are at peace. From the service of confession and absolution, we move on to the service of the Word, where we hear our Lord speak to us in Scripture. This isn't just for educational purposes. You heard it today in today's Gospel reading that these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. time you hear God's word, the Holy Spirit is at work to give and strengthen faith. Every time you hear God's gospel, the Lord is saying to you, do not disbelieve, but believe. Let there be faith. Then we move on to the service of the sacrament, where Jesus himself one-ups Thomas. Thomas just wanted to touch Jesus. But for you, Jesus gives his body and blood to eat and to drink. And what for? For the forgiveness of all your sins. That's why, after the words of institution, and immediately before the distribution begins, the pastor says what Jesus said when he appeared to the disciples. Peace be with you, and the peace of the Lord be with you always. It's the same peace, because the same Jesus is here with his same body and blood, crucified for your sins and raised for your salvation. This is then how you live your life as a Christian until he comes again, knowing that you still sin, and that each sin is leading you towards disbelieving. You confess them along with all guilt and shame. Where you have doubts, and you will, you confess those too. To those who repent, Jesus says, I forgive you. And even if you don't feel forgiven, you cling by faith to the certainty that you are, because Jesus says so. The Gospel of John began with Jesus as the Word made flesh. As it starts to conclude, Jesus points you to Scripture, his Word inspired. That's where you find him today. And that's where he works to forgive you. Confess your sins and hear forgiveness. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Let there be faith. Let there be peace. So peace be with you. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.